Yeah, so once again, my name is Paul. I am a pastoral assistant at Hinson Baptist Church. We just want to greet you from Hinson, and just I send my warm regards from the church. I also work full-time as a nurse, as a registered nurse at Providence Portland. So I just thank you for having me. It's an honor to bring forth God's word to this morning. And by way of introduction, I want us to consider when persecution comes, you know, what will you do? You know, will you run away and escape your problems, perhaps to escape your troubles, kind of like an ostrich, you know, putting your head in the ground? Will you reject what you believe to keep your reputation? Will you neglect others because they may be obstacles in your life and for your safety? Well, our passage today in Hebrews will call us to persevere. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25. Once again, it's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, the big numbers are the chapter numbers, and the small numbers are the verse numbers. And that's going to help you along as we kind of walk through the text here this morning. And as you turn there, it's going to be the New Testament, Hebrews. You know, Hebrews 10, it's a link in the argument of this book where the author wants to really highlight Jesus and how Jesus is better than angels, better than the Old Testament. And in our passage today, we're going to see that Jesus is better than the Old Testament sacrifices, particularly that Jesus, his sacrifice is better. And with that, hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The main point of this passage and the main point of this sermon is because of Jesus, persevere in faith, hope, and love. Because of Jesus, persevere in faith, hope, and love. And that's going to be our 4 points for our sermon. Just wanted to let you know up front, the last point will be the longest. And we'll kind of go in succession here. So because of Jesus, main point number one, because of Jesus. Would you notice the structure with me in verse 19 to 21? How that there's a therefore, and there is, we're going to see the person and work of Jesus. And then in verses 22 to 25, this is how we respond as Christians. How do we respond to the person and work of Jesus? And that's going to be the structure. So look with me in verses 19 to 21, the grounds of the author of Hebrews' argument. Do you see in verse 19 how he says, since we have confidence? And again, in 21, and since we have a great high priest. Both of these word choices, since, is to remind us of these great truths that we have in Jesus. That is what's going to drive the application in verses 21 to 25. So in verse 21, we see the person of Jesus, the person of Christ. Once again, I'll read it here for us in verse 21. Since we have a great priest over the house of God. It's great truth that Jesus is our priest. Well, what is exactly our priest? In the book of Hebrews, we find out that priests, they're mediators. They're mediators for the people of God, that is, namely the house of God, and to God. And so what exactly do these priests mediate, and what exactly is Jesus doing to reconcile the people of God with God? Well, we have to look to the work of God, the work of Jesus. So look with me in verses 19 to 20 here. Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, this is really pointing to how Jesus brings access to God, brings right relationship to God. And is this not the work of the gospel? That God has created all things in right relationship with him. But in the midst of our sin, that we rebelled against the king. We deserve just condemnation in hell. But God does not say, oh, you need to just fix yourselves up. God does not respond and say, go wash yourself up, get right with me, and then come to me. God does not say, search for enlightenment for, you know, within yourself. Actually, help comes from outside. God in his love and his kindness and his mercy brings forth, sends Jesus to live the perfect life that we should have. That Jesus, if you notice, that is through his flesh in verse 20, that God comes in the flesh in Christ. Truly God, truly man, that Jesus Christ is the God-man in the incarnation. But Jesus just continues to pursue his people in that he lives perfectly and then dies on the cross. You know, we just sang that in Jesus Paid It All this morning, that Christ took upon himself our sin and gives us our righteousness, mediates us as a priest, and substitutes himself on behalf of us. And that anybody who repents and believes, as a result of Christ's perfect life, his death, and his resurrection, that anybody who repents and believes can have right standing with God, can have access to God. Now, if you know yourself not to be a believer, if you know if yourself to have not repented and trusted Christ, today's the day. Would you repent and believe? Would you turn away from sin and turn to Christ, putting your hope in Christ? If you want to know more about this gospel, talk to the elders of this church. If you want to know more about this gospel and what it looks like to repent, believe, you could feel free to talk to me after the service. So in light of the person and work of Jesus, how then do we respond? And how do we apply these truths? And to that, we're going to look at the rest of the passage, here, 21 to 25. So in point two, because of Jesus, let us persevere in faith. So if you're taking notes, this is point number two. Because of Jesus, let us persevere in faith. Notice again in verse 19 that there is a therefore brothers. Basically a call, brothers and sisters. Therefore, in light of the person and work of Christ, this is how you should live. Let us draw near, this is verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. It's this hinge here that we see that the application is not supposed to be from ourselves, but actually the motivation and drive for how we are to respond is actually from the gospel. That the gospel drives our actions. The gospel drives our works. And here, I think one of the application points is for us to draw near. And I think how we apply this passage to our lives is actually through prayer. We draw near to God in prayer, through boldness to depend on him in prayer. And I know you've probably, if you've followed Jesus for any sort of length, that you've probably heard this application, that we are to read God's word and we're to pray. But I want us to consider just to go a little deeper of, you know, all of us have struggles to pray. But once again, being reminded that as we draw near to God in prayer, the motivation and drive is actually what Christ has achieved on the cross and in his resurrection. That as we continue to meditate upon the gospel, that should lead us to rest and depend on God in prayer. Notice again, all of the reasons in verse 22, we draw near with a true heart in full assurance. We draw near with our hearts sprinkled clean. And that is a reference to Ezekiel 36. It's this language of that our hearts are renewed, they're cleansed, they're clean from sin. That we should have confidence, boldness to pray. So if you're like me, who struggles to pray daily, I hope as we meditate upon the gospel, that would help us to pray and depend on God in the midst of persecution, in the midst of struggle, that we would depend on Him. Especially in this past year and a half with, you know, COVID restrictions, that this would lead us to pray and depend on God, because we're reminding ourselves of these great truths. So not only do we persevere in faith by drawing near to God, but we persevere because of Jesus in hope. And that's our third point here. Because of Jesus, let us persevere in hope. Once again, look with me in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And it's this call, not a confession of, like, confession of sin, not this admitting that we are guilty, but it's a confession, kind of like a Romans 10, where Paul is saying, we stake our allegiance with Christ. We stake our allegiance. We declare our hope. And how are we to do this? We are to hold fast without wavering. It's this language of kind of like we fasten our seatbelts. You know, we hold tightly. We hold fast to Christ. It's going to be a bumpy journey. And in the original context of this passage in Hebrews, we see that these Christians, they were struggling. They were tempted because of persecution. To perhaps reject Jesus, perhaps go back to their former ways. But I think this context actually reminds us that what the early Christians experienced, you know, we experience today, that we experience persecution. Now, we may, you know, in the context of America, we may experience greater freedom in some senses. But I wonder if in our own lives, as we share the gospel with our coworkers and our family members, perhaps we do get made fun of. Perhaps we do get neglected because we follow Jesus. But again, this is a call that to hold fast to the confession of our hope, the hope we have in Christ. And how do we, you know, hold fast without wavering? Well, the text tells us, "For he who promised is faithful." It's this call to remember the faithfulness, that God is faithful to his promises. And so I wonder, as you hold fast to Christ, is there a meditation on God's promises? That we remember God's promises in our lives. That we remember and rehearse God's promises. So do we remember God's faithfulness? Perhaps in Romans 8:1, that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Do we remember that in Revelation 21, perhaps as our bodies are failing, that we remember that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes and death shall be no more, that he will renew all things? You know, it's a hard journey, and, you know, I'm still relatively a young Christian. You know, I've been only following Christ for about 10 years now. And, you know, I wonder for all of us that it is a struggle to hold fast to Christ. But these promises that we should remember, but we should also rehearse these promises. That as we look to Psalm 118:6, that the Lord is on my side, that we remember this together. Did you notice in our passage, in verse 22, let us, verse 23, let us, it's a corporate response. It's not this individual, I as a solo Christian, follow Jesus. It's we together are holding fast. So I hope that we would continually remember God's promises, but we would also rehearse, that we would tell of each other to hold fast to Christ, hold fast to our hope. That we, you know, as we hear God's word, that it echoes among us. You know, I was encouraged that there's going to be a Bible study in Exodus here. You know, I hope that's one of the ways that we together rehearse as a church, to remember and believe these promises and hold fast to our hope. Not only do we confess our hope, but we also, because of Jesus, persevere in love. And this is going to be my last and final point. And it will be a little bit longer, just as a FYI. So because of Jesus, let us persevere in love. Notice again, look with me in verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what is the call to action? What the text actually tells us to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I just want to highlight that nuance that, you know, the greatest commandments in the New Testament, we see it's to love God and to love others. But what the author of Hebrews is really highlighting is we are to consider. We are to think. We're to pay attention to how do we stir each other up to love and good works. It's yes and amen. It's a call to love each other. But it's first to think, how do we be thoughtful about it? So it's not just this, yeah, love one another, but let's pay attention to, yeah, how do we do this well? And how do we encourage each other to love each other well? And this stirring up, it's not a provoking in a negative sense. You know, when I was a kid on road trips, you know, I would always ask, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And that's a provoking, I think, in a negative sense to draw you to anger. But this provoking is more of a how do we encourage each other positively to continue to love and to stir in each other good works. And I want to just help consider that this is a responsibility of the church. Once again, it's a us. It's not a you pastors or you elders do this. Every member of this church, you know, it's a call to consider how do we do this well. So I want to give us some categories of how to consider to think about stirring each other up in love and good works. And consider how Jesus loved. You know, Jesus in the Gospels, we see that he pursues the marginalized. He pursues the outsider. He pursues the stranger. So remember how Jesus went to the lepers, the Samaritans, the children, the woman. That's a little bit radical. It's not this call to, you know, be comfortable or be with those who you like. It's to consider, okay, like how do we care for the people in this particular church that you might not get along with, but yeah, like how do we love each other well? And think about that. So consider how Jesus loved. But also consider how to meet the needs of others. So, you know, as you get to know each other here in this church, for the members of Cross Creek, I want to encourage and exhort you that, yeah, perhaps there are people who are lonely. Perhaps there are people here in this church that may not have a friend group. Or because of COVID, there's just different stipulations here. I hope we can consider, you know, how do we, you know, stir each other up to love and good works and to not neglect each other, but actually to relationally build depth, especially in these hard times. So those are two considerations that I want to exhort you guys. Consider how Jesus loved and consider the needs of others. I think it takes humility. It takes courage. It takes vulnerability to recognize, like, it's going to be difficult. In nursing school, they always said it takes a village to raise a baby. Well, I think for the Christian life, it takes a church. It takes a church to grow a Christian. It takes a church to really love and care for each other. And so I think this, the author of Hebrews envisions a church community marked by deliberateness, a thoughtfulness, and a care for each other, that we're being mindful about the members of this particular local body. So I want to exhort you in this. And how exactly practically do we do this? Well, I think our passage tells us, if you look with me into verse 25, we do this by not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. So the way that we persevere in love is actually by gathering together. And I think in this passage, it's a call to do exactly what we're doing right now. on the Lord's Day. We gather together. We come together to hear God's word, to sing of God's word, to see God's word in the Lord's Supper. I think all of these ways that we are experiencing, this is the way we persevere in love. We gather. It's not to pull up our own bootstraps, but it's to come together in unity upon the gospel in Christ. And, you know, an analogy that I always use is, it's kind of like the Avengers, you know, all the superhero movies coming in these last few years. You know, Captain America by himself is an Avenger, but it's when he says Avengers assemble, that's when they come together. And it's the same way here in the church. It's not just a solo Christian. It's when we come together and gather as one body. That's when we as a church come together to prioritize each other. And so I think one practical application is to prioritize this Sunday morning. You know, for me as a nurse, typically it's going to be, you know, every other week you're going to have to work a Sunday. And it might be that awkward conversation to talk to your boss and say, is it okay if I work Saturdays and not Sundays so that I could gather with God's people? It might be awkward, but I think that will actually benefit not just your own spiritual growth, but how you can encourage each other. I think this is one of the ways that God has designed for us to grow in Christ is actually to gather with the local church. So prioritize this Sunday morning. But also, it's difficult. It's hard. And we need encouragement. And in our passage today, if you read the latter half of 25, it says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And what exactly is that day that's drawing near? Well, I think that's the second coming of Christ. That in the first coming of Christ, that Jesus lives, dies, and rises again and offers salvation in him. But in the second coming, he will come to renew and judge all things as the new heavens and new earth comes. And so as we wait for Christ's return, that we practice this reality of encouraging each other to put our faith in him, to draw near to him in prayer, to put our hope in our confession, and to continue to pursue each other in love. That it's a daily battle that we continually encourage each other. And we get the privilege of doing this week in and week out. I just want to encourage you all this morning here with a quote from Milton Vincent in A Gospel Primer. And he says this about our hope. He says, hope of eternity with Christ in heaven also enables my heart to thrive during the most difficult and lengthy of trials here on earth. When looking at the sheer weight of unseen glories to come, my troubles seem light by comparison. And when looking at the staggering length of eternity, my troubles seem fleeting by comparison. It is only against the backdrop of a glorious eternity that my circumstance can be seen in such a manner. And the promise of this glorious eternity is part and parcel of the gospel itself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this gospel is the fuel and engine for all of our commands and exhortations and how we are to obey. You know, this Christian life, it's not a private life. It's a very public one, and it's actually a corporate one. So it's the Christian life where we link arms together, where we draw near to God in prayer, in faith. It's one where we together as a church, and in this morning where you guys just declared this one part of the statement of faith, it's how we confess our hope. And it's also how we persevere in love, that we consider how to stir each other up in love. And so because of Jesus, would we persevere in faith, hope, and love? Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we praise you as you are the God of salvation. We praise you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, to gain access for us, that we were far away, but because of Jesus and the application of God, your salvation by the Spirit, we are so thankful. We are thankful how you have saved us. And we confess even now that in the midst of persecution and in the midst of difficulty, that we don't look to you, we don't draw near to you, but we actually look to ourselves. So we confess the ways that we have sinned against you. And so we pray that as we go forth this week, we pray that you would help us to persevere because of Jesus, that we would hold fast to you, that we would draw near to you, and that we would persevere in love. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.